I mean, I remember when we used to listen. I remember what my wife and I, we used to listen. You know, she'd be studying in Bible college, and I'd just stare at her like, ugh. And she'd look at me, and then she'd stare at me, ugh. And we just pay attention to each other for hours. But now I could be reading my book and my wife starts staring at me and I'll look up. What? I bother you or something? Don't look at me like that. I'm reading a book. Good night. Go cook rice. You know, anything.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Ever wonder why it's so easy to do all the talking but so hard to just sit and listen? After all, it takes a lot more muscles to move our mouth than to sit back quietly. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us the importance of being still so that we might know that He is God. From the story of Mary and Martha, here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Learning to Listen.
Right now, we're surrounded by all kinds of waves. Radio waves, microwaves, UHF waves, and the fact that I'm speaking over this sound system wireless tells you that there's waves with audio sound, carrying audio sounds going through this room. There's all kinds of signals going through here. In fact, if you could see in the frequency world, it's just packed. It's filled to the capacity, carrying signals of music, broadcasting, information, news, interviews, warnings, road information, all kinds of things, pagers and telephones, cell phone things. By the way, check your pagers and telephones, make sure it's not on. And so all of these waves are going through here. They're just going nuts, but you can't see it, and we're just unaffected by it, and we're oblivious to it until we put something out that's attuned to what's going on, and then it picks it up. Something like, say, a radio. You know there's radio waves going through this place, but you can't hear anything, although it's carrying music and interviews, all kinds of things, until you have a receiver, something attuned that will listen, pick it up. So to prove that and show that to you, I brought my boombox with me this morning. Just want you to know. So, and as I turn this on, listen to how it picks up the signals. Thank you. Yeah, it's just... Last service, I tuned into one that wasn't a good song. We had to move right by, but... Okay. This all over the place. But all of these things are going on, and we're completely unaffected. If you want to borrow this later, you may, but we're unaffected by it until we have something to pick it up. And the Bible talks about the fact that God is always speaking. And He's always, in fact, you rewind the tape, beginning of the book of John, and the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Hebrews chapter 1. The Lord a long time ago spoke through the prophets in many portions and in many ways, but in these last days He speaks to us in His Son. So God is saying, I am declaring, I am speaking, I am sending out signals, instructions, and guidance, my love. I'm sending to you warnings, and this place is filled with the presence of God. But the question is not, is God speaking? The question is, are we listening? Are we attuned? And our hearts are like this radio, because God can be all around, which He is, but are we listening? You see, we live in a fast-forward world where busyness is equal to importance, and we're just too busy to listen. We live in a world where busyness is equated with success. And you've heard of attention deficit disorder? In Christianity, we have a thing called spiritual attention deficit disorder. And the acronym is SADD, because it is. But all of us are involved in that. We just need to today understand that there is an indispensable life lesson called listening. Well, we're in this fast-forward world, and we think that because someone is busy, then he's important. Oh, he's so busy, he must be successful. And the Lord is saying, what the world defines is not how I define it. In fact, the Bible says what seems acceptable to man is something that is, in God's eyes, something he detests. And so we want to make sure that we, though it seems nice and it seems acceptable, it may not be acceptable in God's sight. It was so illustrated to me in the story where I heard it's a story of first graders in this Portuguese kindergarten. And this mainland teacher, Mrs. Johnson, comes storming into the principal's office. His name is Gerald Gouveia. And she said, Mr. Gouveia, these first grade children are just so far behind. These Portuguese kids are so dumb. I can't believe it. He said, no way. These Portuguese kids are smart. She said, I can't even pass them. We're at the end of the year. I can't even give them a test. He said, what do you mean? Give them the test. They all pass. They all go full second grade. Come on. She said, I can't. He said, okay, I'll give them the test myself because I know they're smart. She said, you can't give them a test. They can't even read. He said, that's all right then. I'll give them one of those kind of verbal kind of tests. I just tell them the test. They tell me the answer. She said, okay, but, you know, they can't answer a thing. He said, come, check this out. So he sat her down, and there was only about seven kids. So he said, okay, kids, I'm going to give you one test. He said, now you watch real close, Mrs. Johnson. And he looks at Mary. Mary over here wants to be a tour bus person. So he says, okay, Mary, try Lisi. Mary, I'm going to ask her one question. Watch how smart she stay. Mary, how do a crazy Portuguese people go through a forest? She said, oh, they take the cycle path. That's right. See, that's smart. Don't tell me they're dumb. She said, oh, no, Mr. Gouveia, no. He said, wait. Over here, Billy, you like study different kinds of lands, yeah, and different stuff. Okay, Billy, tell me, what do Eskimos get from sitting on the ice too long? He said, oh, I know what, Polaroids. That's right, see, they get Polaroids. She said, no, that's hemorrhoids. Whatever, smart enough. So watch this, Wilford, you want to be a psychologist, right?
That's right.
Okay, what lies at the bottom of the ocean and twitches? Oh, one nervous wreck. That's right. See?
Don't tell me these kids.
By this time, she's rolling her eyes saying, oh, no. No, watch this. Mano, you want to be one veterinarian, right? Try what?
Yeah, Mano, so I want to be veterinarian. Okay, Mano. Where do you find a dog without any legs?
Right where you left him.
That's right.
See? He's smart. Don't tell me they cannot pass the first grade.
Pretty soon, Keoki says, hey, Mr. Gouveia, tell me one question. So I said, okay, he said, all right. Keoki, what do you call the cheese that's not your brother's?
Oh, he said, that's nacho cheese.
That's right, that's nacho cheese. These kids, they get them.
One more, Junior. Junior says, hey, ask me one question. Okay, this is the final. Watch this now.
Junior, tell me, why do Portuguese have such big nostrils?
Because they get big fingers. That's right. See, pass them all.
Oh, I tell you.
But you see, even though it seems right, it may not be right. Let's go back and correct way back now. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10. And let's take a look at one of the most beloved stories in the New Testament of two sisters named Mary and Martha. Luke 10, these two sisters of which their brother Lazarus later is going to be raised from the dead. But there's a contrast between these two sisters. And let's take a look at what Mary's doing, what Martha's doing, and what God has to say about the two. Verse 38 as we begin. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Now, she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was, here it is, listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted by all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? You tell her to help me. And the Lord answered and said, Martha, whoa, chotto mate. You are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. And for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Really, only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen that. You see, listening, because she was listening to the Lord's word seated at his feet, listening is something we must choose in the midst of a busy world. When was the last time you just sat at his feet and listened? When was the last time? See, often I identify more with Martha than I do with Mary, because I'm like that. How many of you would say, I'm more like a Martha than a Mary? Raise your hand. Yeah, a lot of us are. There's only one way to hear God, and you've got to listen. Let's read the scripture, Luke 10:42, together right under that. Ready? Go. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. See, what God is saying is prayer is more than talking to God. Prayer is a two-way street, so we must not only talk to God, but also what? Listen. And many times we don't. In fact, it's a good reminder, just the way God created our anatomy, that we should listen twice as much as we talk, because he's given us two ears and only one mouth. For most of us, we should have two mouths and one ear on our head, you know, because we talk twice as much as we listen. But God is saying she has chosen the good part. Now, prayer is listening. And I want to emphasize that this morning because it's an indispensable life lesson. Because you cannot get to know God until you learn to just listen. Isn't it true often we come to God with this litany, a Christmas list of, God, I want this, do this, change her, change him, do this, do that, and give me this and give me that. And once we're done with our list, when our list is done, whew, we're done too. And we don't even take time to listen. That's why people never get to know God. You can be a Christian for 10 years and we've learned how to pray. Oh man, we can pray. But we don't listen. And so you pray, but you don't know God. Because you really don't know somebody until you listen to them. We don't do that in conversation. I mean, it's like somebody calling up a friend named Roy. Say, hey, Roy, how's it? How was your day? Oh, before you say anything, let me tell you what my day is like. And let me tell you what I need. My wife is on the fritz again, and my kids are all bananas. But, oh, I went yesterday, caught some really good waves. And I went, got some good deals at Ross. Yeah, yeah. And then I went down over here to the gas station. Yeah, I checked my tires, got it all fixed up anyway. Well, I had a good time at work. Okay, I guess you're doing okay. Fine, that's all. Anyway, thanks. Later. It's click. Your wife says, who is that? Oh, that's Roy. You know, Roy is a little strange, nice guy, but hard to get him to know him very well because he doesn't say much. Hardly talks, that guy. Oh, hard for know him. We don't do that in conversation, but we do that with God. And we think that the faster we can pray nonstop, the more spiritual we are. And I want you to know that an indispensable life lesson is that we must listen. When was the last time you just sat under a tree or more at his feet? Just listen and let your mind just go over your family and your heart go over your relationships and let the Lord see in your heart. And then just write down what he's saying. Yeah, Lord, I got to do that, don't I? Got to stop that, huh? Write that down. Yeah, Lord. Even in my journaling, the last thing I do is I write a little phrase, how I will be different today because of what Jesus just said. Just listen. Hear what he has to say. Because we live in a culture where we demand things to be given to us now, and we turn that to God. We do the same thing with God. His name is Robert Hughes. He's an art critic, and he wrote a penetrating book about the American society, and it's called The Culture of Complaint. The thesis of this book was that we live in a society where people perceive themselves as we're entitled to having all our desires fulfilled. And whatever we want to do, we should be able to do. And whatever we want, we should be able to get. That's our birthright. And when we don't get it, then we give ourselves the victim status. Because everybody owes us. He says we live in a, here it is, the title, a culture of complaint. And then he says something interesting. He says this culture has formed our minds. It forms our hearts. It even forms our prayers. We don't even listen to one another anymore, let alone God. I mean, I remember when we used to listen. I remember what my wife and I, we used to listen. I remember, you know, she'd be studying in Bible college, and I'd just stare at her like this. And she'd look at me, and then she'd stare at me. And we'd just pay attention to each other for hours. But now I could be reading my book, and my wife starts staring at me, and I'll look up. What? I bother you or something? Don't look at me like that. I'm reading a book. Good night. Go cook rice. You know, anything. We don't listen to anyone anymore. But the scripture says, and you can read in your notes, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Would you underline still and circle the word know? Because you will never know God until you are still. It's the first lesson we must learn and return to over and over again. And that is just pay attention to God. It's an indispensable life lesson. We never learn that along the way. We learn how to talk to God, but we don't know how to listen. The author's name is Basil Pennington. He uses the metaphor of a still pond as our soul. And then he says something really interesting. He says this, and I'll read it. When the pond is still and a stone is tossed into it, the effects of that stone entering the water with its ripples can be read over the entire surface. But when the pond is not still, when the water is already ruffled and tossed, the arrival of that stone will go unnoticed. Where the wind has already disturbed the surface, the stone will not be disturbing because it will be lost now in the frantic motion of the surface. You see, if our life is always ruffled, we can't hear God because even though He speaks, we can't sense the disturbing of our soul because it's already disturbed. And we will never learn to listen until we first, would you write this in your notes, see its value in your life. You've got to see the value of listening because, again, you can be a Christian for 20 years, but if you don't learn to listen, you'll not know God. You can talk and talk and talk, but until you learn to listen, you won't know Him. Be still and know. We've got to learn how to listen. In fact, Luke 8:18 says, therefore, take care what? Take care how you listen, because we don't know how to listen. We don't listen to one another anymore, let alone God. The classic story of Stanley, the armchair quarterback, going through the channels, and he finally gets to his game, and he's in the last quarter, and the score is tied, and quickly he yells over to Alice, hey, Alice, he says, big beer belly, hey, Alice, give me another beer. I can't leave this chair because the last quarter was tied. Quick, give me another beer. She yells from the kitchen, hey, Stanley, did you know that the water pipe broke yesterday? Hey, just give me a beer. Well, by the way, it flooded, and it flooded and went all over the floor, and Fluffy the dog got electrocuted. Would you just give me a beer? Come on. Oh, no, another touchdown. Stanley, the vet said she'll be okay, but her hair will forever smell like burnt Chiave. Oh, would you just give me that thing? And by the way, give me some chips. Stanley, the plumber called, and he came to fix it, and it cost $1,200. And he said he was glad it broke because now he can afford to go on a vacation. Hey, give me that stuff. Come on. Where are you? Stanley, the plumber is leaving for Tahiti tomorrow, and he asked me to go with him. Hey, would you bring me that beer? In fact, bring me the whole six-pack. Stanley, I'm leaving you. And I said, yes, and I've withdrawn all your money from the bank. Oh, would you? Good night. Goodbye, Stanley. Hey, give me that. You know what's wrong with this house? Nobody ever listens. See, you can never get to know what's going on inside someone until you listen. We won't ever know what's going on inside the Lord and what He wants for our lives until we listen. That's why God says, stop, because I want what I say, like a pebble going into a pond, I want it to affect your whole life. Let's read what Matthew 10, 27 says about that. Ready? Go. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim on the housetops. You see, the Lord is saying, what I tell you in the darkness, I want it to affect your life in public. So you need to listen. But if your soul is always ruffled and is never still, then you'll never have a life impacted by what I say. And so the psalmist says in 131, let's read it together. He talks about our soul being quieted like a weaned child. Now, a weaned child is different from an unweaned. You've seen children yet to be weaned from their mother. That each time the mother gives his child, someone just goes nuts and throws a tantrum. And okay. And we as parents kind of think it's cool because look how much his baby loves me. It's just not weaned yet. Because sooner or later, that kid better get off your hip. You know, carrying around a 19-year-old kid is no fun. So that child has to be weaned. Now, the mother is still beloved, but there's a weaning process between a weaned child and unweaned child. And so the psalmist talks about that, about our soul. Let's read it. Ready? Go. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. John Ortberg, in his book, Love Beyond Reason, explains this psalm. And let me just read it because he does a great job. He says this, an unweaned child is a noisy child. The unweaned child has learned that eventually noise leads to the satisfying of his desires. And even if it doesn't right away, the noise itself seems to bring him some type of relief. At least, he says, it makes others as miserable as that child. The weaned child, on the other hand, has learned that the presence of his mother is more than just being about immediate gratification. This child has become capable of stillness and can have a whole new communication with his mother. Because now the mother is more than simply someone who exists to satisfy his needs or to take away his hunger. The mother is now a person instead of just being a need meter. There is a catch, however. Weaning is not a popular process, at least not for the weenie. Children rarely volunteer for this because it's both costly and as well as painful. Weaning means learning to live in stillness with unfulfilled desires for a while. But it is a mark of maturity, isn't it? And the psalmist says that this is a picture of my soul. He says that I have learned to still my heart, that there has been a weaning process. So God is not just one who exists to gratify all my desires. He's more than just someone who exists to take away my hunger. He is becoming more than the meter of my needs. And I'm entering into a whole new era of listening, for I have stilled my soul.
I come to glorify. Identify with you, speak your name as my own.
You've just heard a message entitled Learning to Listen by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship and heard each day at this time. Thank you for listening, and until next time, God bless you and aloha.
I come to glorify you, identify with you, speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. I come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.